This is the tale of the king who cheated poets. There was a certain king who, like many kings, desired to be praised in verse. But he was a stingy man, and he did not desire to pay the cost of such praise. Now it happened that this king had an extraordinary memory. So good was his memory that when he had heard a poem only once, he could commonly recite it, word for word. Furthermore, the king had in his service a Mameluke, whose memory was only less good than the king's. For the Mameluke, when he had heard a poem twice, could recite it word for word. And finally, the king owned a singing girl, whose memory was only less good than the Mameluke's. For when she had heard a poem three times, she could recite it word for word. And so the king hit upon a stratagem. When a poet came to offer him verses in his praise, he would tell the poet that if the verse was a good one and original, he would pay for it the poem's weight in gold, but if not, nothing. And the poet, having prepared a poem, would recite it in praise of the king, and the king would say, "This is indeed a fine poem, but I think I have heard it before. Indeed, I think I know this poem that you say is your own." And having heard the poem, he would recite it, word for word. "Indeed," he would say, "if I am not mistaken, this poem that you present as your own work is so well known that this Mameluke here knows it as well." And the Mameluke, having heard the poem twice, once from the poet and once from the king, would recite it, word for word. "Indeed," the king would say, "so well known is this fine poem that you pass off as your own, that behind that curtain is a singing girl who knows it as well." And the singing girl, having heard the poem three times, once from the poet, once from the king, and once from the Mameluke, would recite the poem word for word. And the poet would go away, unpaid and very puzzled, as to how a poem he had but just composed could be known already to three different people. Now matters passed in this way for some time, until the word of the doings of the king reached the ears of a certain very clever poet, who suspected the device and made his plans, and garbed himself as a Bedouin, and appeared before the king. And he said to the king, "Is it true that you pay for poems in your praise?" And the king said, "Yes, but do you know my terms?" "Name them," said the Bedouin. "My terms," said the king, "are that if the poem is a good one and original, I will pay out its weight in gold, but if not, nothing." "Those terms are acceptable to me," said the Bedouin. And he then recited a poem in praise of the king. But this was not an ordinary poem. It was a poem written using odd terms, and words, and turns of phrase, and poetic devices that these days have vanished from the speech of all save the desert people. And so difficult was the poem that for all the king's memory, having heard it once, he could not recite it. And so, recognizing that he was for once defeated, the king said to the poet, "This is a fine poem, and for all I know it is original. I will pay out to you the poem's weight in gold. Where is the paper it is written on?" And the poet answered, "Your Majesty, this poem is not written on paper." "What then is it written on?" said the king. "When the poem came into my head," answered the Bedouin, "there was nothing by me but a block of marble into which I chiseled it. And here it is." For he had brought the block of marble with the poem inscribed on it into the king's garden the night before, by camel. And so, to make good his promise, the king was forced to pour out the wealth of his treasury to pay the poet the poem's weight in gold. And so were the poets revenged upon the king who cheated poets.